Good morning. It is wonderful to see all of you today and to have this day to worship, those who are here in person and those joining us by streaming. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you also have joy in this day, things to be joyful for. I know yesterday, in the midst of all the moving, I took a break for a moment and I saw some blue jays flying around my yard. First time I've seen some birds, so that's been my joy this week. Again, I hope that your days are also filled with these joys. A few announcements for today. Following our worship, please do join us for coffee hour. It is by the Zoom link, so make sure to go and switch from the YouTube to Zoom for that coffee hour time. We will also be having Sunday school today at 11:15. That's also by Zoom, so please do register and join in that. Confirmation class today for 7th and 8th graders is in the parking lot. So we are not on Zoom today. We are in the parking lot out back for a few activities. That's at 11 o'clock, 7th and 8th graders. Our 9th graders and 10th graders who are preparing for affirmation of baptism, we are meeting at 1 o'clock by Zoom. So we've got a busy day of Zoom and in person. We do continue this week as well with a variety of activities on Zoom. So please do join in the Monday Bible study, Thursday's Tea and Talk, Monday night Green Team, Wednesday night Book Club. Check your bulletins for the details, but these are all events happening this week. One other reminder for next week. It is All Saints Day. It is also the day that the time changes. So make sure to adjust your clocks so that you show up on time. Thank you so much. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship. We begin our worship by turning to our baptism and confessing our sin. I invite the congregation to rise as you are able. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. It is time for the children. Good morning, children. It is good to have this time with you. You might notice things look a little different here. Do you see what's different today? The colors. Before, they were green. This week, they're red. Just like outside, the seasons change. In the church, the seasons change, and we have different colors at different times. Why do you think we might have red this week? What does red mean to you? I think you have some good ideas. Red means a lot of different things. One of the things that we think of when we think of red is fire. If you look here, we've got flames. I'm wearing flames too. So one of the things we think about when we think of red is fire. And fire gives us energy. And that's one of the reasons that we have red today, is it's a day that we remember the work that the Holy Spirit is like fire. It gives us energy in the church. And so on days that we remember the church, we remember the Holy Spirit gives us the energy to be church and to do good things and to follow God. And so we have red on days we remember special days in the church. We also have a dove here, and the dove reminds us of peace. And so the Holy Spirit works in the church to have energy, to go out and be God's hands, and it gives us the peace to trust in God. And so that's why we wear the red on days we remember the church. And today is Reformation Day, a day we remember that changes in the church that were made that help us to remember God's word. And so it's only this week. Next week we're going to have another color, but this week is a special day of fire and the Holy Spirit. So I know some of you like to draw during worship. So I'm going to suggest while you are in worship, if you like to draw, maybe you can draw a picture of the ways that the church has energy, the ways the church can care about other people and the Holy Spirit works there. You can even put some fire and use some red color. So today during worship, that's my suggestion. Thank you for the time. We'll see you again next week.
First reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. The renewed covenant will not be breakable, but like the old covenant, it will expect the people to live upright lives. To know the Lord means that one will defend the cause of the poor and needy. The renewed covenant is possible only because the Lord will forgive iniquity and not remember our sin. Our hope lies in a God who forgets. The prophet writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now and look upon the works of the Lord. What awesome things he has done on earth. It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 3. Paul's words stand at the heart of the preaching of Martin Luther and other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God through works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God through the divine activity centered in Christ's death. This act is a gift of grace that liberates us from sin and empowers our faith in Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable for God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. Then by what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated. What do you do when your world falls apart? When you realize that everything you knew would never be the same? That sinking feeling in your stomach, the tightness in your chest, as it becomes clear that everything is in shambles. We face these moments several times in our life. The sudden death of a loved one, when everything comes to a screeching halt. A persistent illness, serious diagnosis that reframes everything. Normally, a few people at a time are facing these situations. Right now, though, all of us face a changed world at the same time. And we don't know what is happening. Still, each of us has our own versions of the world we knew crumbling around us. Our own specific ways that the earth has melted before us. So many among us have lost jobs, faced decreased income in this unstable economy. And to be without a job tears away not only income, but also the daily rhythms, the sense of purpose and meaning, the predictability in life. Others are stuck in lonely isolation, unable to have the kind of personal interactions that also give meaning to life. And still others are juggling too many different things, trying to work from home and manage homeschooling and so many other tasks without much time and space to work in. And for all of us, we know that whatever comes next will not be what was before. And that's scary too. When the bottom drops out of life, it's overwhelming. We want to curl up and disappear sometimes. We wonder why all of this is happening, how we will get through, if anyone cares about us. In the worst of these moments, we can't see God at all and wonder if God is really there. How can God allow all of this? Why doesn't God do something? We're hurting here. We really need to see God. And God seems absent. What do we do as our world falls apart? Today is Reformation Day, the day that we remember the reforms of the church in the 16th century led by Martin Luther. We remember the heritage of the Lutheran Church and return to its perspectives on encountering God in our lives. Now, often this is a celebration of so many things, but to me, the central question that Martin Luther dealt with was precisely this: where is God when my life crumbles? Where is God when I try to do what is right, but continually fall short? Where is God when those who do good suffer, while those who take advantage of others seem to prosper? Where is God in the struggles of life? These are the central questions. Martin Luther lived through uncertain times. Personally, he struggled in his spiritual life in seeing God's presence as he tried to do what was right and saw himself failing again and again. He also endured the death of one of his children. He lived in times of civil unrest, including violent ones, uprisings. He lived through plagues. He lived through difficult family relationships, particularly at times being estranged with his father. More generally, he lived in a time of intense political divisions, of war, of economic hardship. At times, in his area, it's said that inflation rates reached 30%. He lived through social systems collapsing. The challenges we face today are real, but they're not new to human experience. He also speaks into this time and asks, where is God? So how does he answer this question of where is God in all of this? Well, for Martin Luther, he looked to the Bible. He looked to Jesus on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? If even Jesus experienced this distance from God, this suffering in life, then it must be something we all experience. And yet, in the resurrection of Jesus, we get the promise that God is there all along. In Jesus, God entered the true struggles and suffering of human life. So God is standing beside us in the midst of our challenging times, in our times when the world falls apart. This is the message we find in Scripture, and this is the grace of God. It's not just that our sins are forgiven, though that's part of it. It's also our sins are forgiven because God does not leave us alone. The storms of life rage, the earth melts away, but Christ in God remains present with us, even when we can't see it. The cross is a promise of God sticking with us, even in the worst experiences of our lives. To have faith is to trust that promise, even when we have trouble seeing God around us. That faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit that we can cling to that promise. God, you promised you're here. I don't see it, but you promised, and I will trust you. So where is God when our world falls apart? Psalm 46 may say it best. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalm starts with this reminder, the affirmation that God is there getting us through the difficult times. It then moves on to the times in life that can cause our world to fall apart. It starts with general experiences like earthquakes and floods that can indeed rip up someone's life. But then it moves on to a little bit more personal experiences, the struggles of cities and nations. That is, it's getting at the places and events where people's lives unfold and where they fall into turmoil all around us in the places that we live. Having lifted up these ways that our world falls apart, it comes to the question, where is God in all of this? And God answers at the end. God answers, be still and know that I am God. In other words, lay your anxieties down. Stop fighting to understand and accept the experience of God's grace. Be still and know God is there with you. To know means to trust, to have faith. God never left you, even in the tough times. It may be hard to see, but trust the promise. You have not been left alone. And then God says, I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Now remember, the psalm started by listing the places in the earth where God seems absent, the place in the nations where God seems absent. All these are the places where we experience disaster and struggle and the seeming absence of God. So when God says, I am exalted, that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is lifting their hands in praise. It means God is present and at work. Be still and look for it. God hasn't left your side. God reminds us that even in these perilous times, God is with us. God is in the places where disaster strikes, where we meet our struggles. What do you do when your world falls apart? Weep and mourn. Recognize that the challenges are real. And then, be still. Watch and listen. Hear the promise that God has not departed from you. God is there beside you in even the most difficult times, a real presence in the times of trouble. We are still in the midst of a world that seems to be crumbling around us. We don't know what jobs will come back or when, or what new ones might come. We don't know how long the isolation will continue. We don't know the future of how it will be different from the past, how we will be required to change in our lives and in our church. There is so much we don't know, and it's still scary. Even so, be still and know. Know that God is with us. God's grace will not leave us alone. Find refuge in the God who is there, present with you. Or to rephrase it the way Martin Luther paraphrased it, a mighty fortress is our God, a true refuge in times of trouble. In that fortress, we find the grace of a God who will not leave us alone. This is the hope that the Reformation brought us, the reminder to return again and again to that mighty fortress. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. Our only mediator. What God did in the law demand, no one could keep unfailing. Great woe arose on every hand, and sin grew all prevailing, because the law must be fulfilled. Christ came as God in mercy willed, for us the law obeying. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, we will rejoice, we will be glad, and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Baptized into your death, I'm freed. Your life is mine forever. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone, and rests on him unceasing. And by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work, serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living.
I invite you to rise as you are able for our time of prayer. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation. For our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians seeking a cure, all essential workers, and those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We rejoice today in the birth of Brielle Ann Covington and pray for her whole family. We pray for Rosemary Bledsoe, the family of Maria Kitashima, Kathy Roberts, Susan Haubecker, Mike Barbaccio, Skip and Jerry Nice, Patricia Sullivan, Denise Logan, and the friends and family of Kathy Todd. And we pray as well for all those that we name silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our silent response today is, hear our prayer. Renew and inspire the church in the freedom of the gospel, O God. Where the church is in error, reform it. Where the church speaks your truth, strengthen it. Where the church is divided, unify it. Ignite in us the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the earth changes, as mountains shake and waters roar, may we care for this planet as a holy habitation for all living things. Sustain all peoples and lands recovering from natural disasters of any kind. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide areas of the world divided or traumatized by conflict, especially in our own land. Free all from slavery and human trafficking, and protect all in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Release those living in bondage to debts, chronic pain, or addiction. Grant healing touch to those who are ill. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this family of faith, we give thanks for courageous voices that have remained firm in their commitment to the one who frees us from sin and death. Centered in your grace, unify us in the hope of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Even in death, you free us and give us a place in your house. We give thanks for our ancestors who have shown us truth and freedom, especially Martin Luther and those who work for the renewal of the church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us take a moment to share the peace in person by electronic means. We do also take this time to remember all the blessings that God has given us and to offer ourselves, our time, our possessions to God in grateful thanks. And now let us pray using the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
A couple of reminders before we leave. Please take your bulletin with you as you depart the sanctuary by any rear door. Observe and move to the parking lot where you can safely greet each other outside. And now, in peace, Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.